Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Construction workers have nearly twice the rate of substance abuse as the national average, and the rate of suicide for men working in construction is about four times higher than that of the general population. In 2023, a St. Louis-based peer support system and hotline was launched to lower these statistics. And it's now been 2 years since Lean STL, which stands for Laborers Escaping Addiction Now, got off the ground. And in that time, it has fielded thousands of calls from St. Louis laborers, helping them connect with resources and breaking down the stigma of talking about addiction and mental health. Don Willey is a trustee for the Laborers' Health and Welfare Trust Fund. After a 38 career with the union, much of it spent as a construction worker, he retired. But he became a major driver of creating Lean STL in retirement because of what he saw happening with and to laborers.
You can't shake a stick and not hit somebody that hasn't been affected by this crisis of mental health and addiction in this country.
Mm-hmm.
It's the exception not for somebody not to know somebody in their family or acquaintances that are not dealing with these issues.
And specifically with those who are in the construction industry. All of the funerals that you had to attend and...
As a business manager, that's one thing we did at our local is we make an effort to attend funerals of all our members and retirees. And there were too many funerals that were I went to for suicides, too many for overdose, and I'm in retirees meeting, and even back then, we have members that are grandparents that are raising their grandchildren.
Willie was also motivated by a deeply personal and painful loss.
15 years prior to 2016, I was dealing with my only son, Matthew, who had a heroin addiction. And myself and his mother had to take him off life support after a week in the ICU. And then that was March 29, 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of this issue as a loved one dealing with someone in substance use is called presenteeism.
Okay.
So there were days in that 15 years that I was on the job, but I wasn't there 100% of the time.
Sure.
There were days I was there 50% of the time. And for a construction worker, a tradesperson, or even a union official, as I was both, that's dangerous.
Sure.
That's dangerous for their coworkers. That's dangerous for the company, everybody involved. But I will admit to you as a loved one, dealing with the substance use, when Matthew passed, in a lot of ways it was a relief because I got off that train of waiting for that call every day that I recognized his heroin addiction. There was a relief of not just living in that fear. And when I poked my head up and looked around what was going on with substance use in the St. Louis market, a lot of things need to change.
Yeah. And so that was part of your realization. I mean, all the years of work that you had done, both as a construction worker and on the business side, and then what had happened with your son. Was there something in particular, though, that made you realize that there was a need specifically for a peer support group in St. Louis?
Well, it evolved with education, doing talks to various association groups, safety meetings, things like that. And then my son Matthew was in a St. Louis recovery house on Humphrey Street.
Mm-hmm.
It was their intake house. And this is a recovery house set up with peer support. These are guys in recovery taking people in. They're feeding them, housing them, doing a program, a 12-step program or other programs, making sure they get their visits to the doctor, the visits to the psychologist, whatever they need, they're there. That recovery house is there to support them.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, my son was only in there like 2.5 weeks before he passed. But it just made a lot of sense, because it's no different than me trying to talk to somebody who has experienced sexual abuse in their life, or talk to a Vietnam vet. There is a huge value and a comfort in people talking to somebody that has a lived similar lived experience.
Right. The ability to relate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was Don Willey, a trustee for the Laborers' Health and Welfare Trust Fund. He spoke with me on the show in summer 2023, just after the launch of the Lean STL Peer Support System for construction workers. At that time, we also spoke with two people who have their own personal connections to the struggles and solutions that Lean STL was created for, peer support specialists Aaron Walsh and James Purcell. James and Aaron, welcome back to the show.
Good afternoon.
Thank you. It's great to see you again.
Now, that was a little over 2 years ago, so we're about 2 years in. How is it going, James?
It's going really well. It's always hard to talk about the success of something like this, because you feel like you have to also talk about the struggles, right? It's successful because there are, you know, these challenges out there, the people's lives that are, you know, broken or struggling. So, but when we talk about success, we know that, you know, people are getting help that weren't getting help before. So we've seen a lot of willingness on all sides. It feels like a sea change. People are ready to talk and, more importantly, do something about these issues. So I feel like not only is it being received well, it's also the most important piece, right? Our members are getting help. Their family members are getting help. So,
Aaron, what is it that peer support looks like? What does it mean?
Yeah, so peer support for our organization looks like somebody that is in recovery. The lived experience of being in the construction field and also being in recovery from mental health and substance use. And what that allows is for us to have a shared language and an understanding with people, so that we can connect on that deeper level.
Mm-hmm.
It really allows James and I to be vulnerable in front of guys to change the narrative, right? And our most important thing, is changing the narrative and breaking down some of that stigma, because we're up against a lot. We have personal stigma, occupational stigma, social stigma, and we're hoping to break through some of that occupational, right? And through the vulnerability, helping people feel okay coming forward.
Mm-hmm. Now, neither of you is a mental health professional. You know, your role is to connect with folks on sort of the similar level, right? But often before they're seeking professional help, they're coming to talk with you about what is going on. Is there something that you're able to provide, Aaron, to people who are going through addiction that sometimes is missing, you know, before they get to an addiction recovery group, for example?
Sure, yeah. You know, a lot of the resources, right, are up here, and what we do with the informal thing is really kind of bring it down to ground level and give people an understanding of what they're walking in through, what that looks like. And that's a big part of our job, is to make sure we understand the resources that we're giving to people so that we can walk them through those steps before they show up.
So would you say, James, that it's kind of an orientation of sorts, stepping into something that's more group-oriented or individual and, like, professional?
You know, I'm sorry. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Filling a gap,
yeah.
People who are coming to you who are seeking help but not quite in that official pipeline.
Yeah, thank you. That's
sure.
The piece I need. I appreciate it. So I look at us like connectors. Mm-hmm. And we do a lot of work. You'll hear me talk about natural support. I'm a huge proponent of that. I think that a lot of things can be managed with natural support. But as far as when we need those clinical interventions, and we are a bridge or a connector piece to, and part of our job, we get to, you know, understand, like Aaron said, vet, if you will, these resources, really more be connected to them, be a part of this community. So when our members enter our space, we can help connect them. But before that, part of a big part of being a peer is removing barriers for people, mm-hmm. right? And so whether we're helping them understand what treatment is like, Aaron and I talk about this a lot, as people who speak through experience about this, we don't even understand what's wrong with us. It's some places in time when we're out there in that position, when we're struggling, we don't even understand some of these challenges we're facing. So we're, even though you're correct, we're not mental health professionals, we certainly have a lot of experience to help people maybe begin to understand what's going on and help them find the resources they would need. So I love being a connector to all these pieces, including our treatment resources. We're connecting all these groups because we have a population that needs help, and we have resources, and there's a chasm between them. And so peer work, I think, is incredibly powerful mm-hmm. intervention.
Is there an interaction, Aaron, with an individual you've worked with that really stands out to you as an example of why these peer-to-peer conversations are so crucial?
Yeah. we have people that state that just having us at the ready, right, has allowed them to stay in the process of thinking about recovery, right, and what that might look like for them. And a lot of times the informal thing we do with people keeps them connected to us, right? There's a guy right now that's getting ready to go into sober living, and been working with him for 2.5 years. And it's been a lot of up and downs. And what James and I find is guys feel so comfortable with us that they can call and kind of tell on themselves. They can be honest with us. They know we're not going to judge them. So really the informal thing that happens is enough to keep people engaged, right, until they're ready to find that clinical help.
Mm-hmm. Recovery is more than just, you know, treatment or rehab, sort of in the, like, session-based way. Maybe folks think about it. You know, being sober for an unbroken amount of time or stretch of time is also another measure. But what is the more, maybe, that you all are providing that makes it possible for someone like the person you described, Aaron, who's going into a new living situation after working for 2.5 years? What is the more that you all bring?
I like to describe it as a thread of continuity, mm-hmm. right? We're going to have these clinical touches. We're going to have, from the start, from that initial phone call, and even before then, their own struggles, once they engage us and we connect with them and we build this rapport. And it looks 1,000 different ways. There are times when we have a phone call, someone just needs some quick resources for their family. And that's not easy to grab a hold of.
Mm-hmm. And when you say for the family, can you talk a little bit more, James, about that? Who's calling?
I don't think it'll be a secret for me to say this, that our wives in a typical construction family, our wives are really, my wife is running things for us, keeping mm-hmm. us. She's the comptroller, as I like to say, and so we are, I would say half of the calls, Aaron. You know, we throw numbers out, but many times the wives are calling, and that we can zoom out and talk about that, right? Because when somebody's struggling, we can't isolate the person or the struggle from the family, mm-hmm. correct? So the wife may not be just calling because husband needs help. Wife also needs help. Child needs help. Family needs help. There's a lot that happens in recovery. As you mentioned, it's when we open this thing up, it's bigger than that. But we have the members calling too, and it happens again in 10,000 ways. We could be at a one of our union meetings, and people just knowing we're there and that we're on their side, to see them walk up. And Aaron and I know that feeling too, because we've had it. Mm-hmm. When you can start to let go or open up to somebody, knowing that you're working towards getting help, there's a lot of pain that we carry around with us. And so,
We need to take a very quick break here, but we'll be back shortly to continue this conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation with James Purcell and Aaron Walsh. They're labor recovery specialists with Lean STL, which is a support system that is marked by peer support, and this is for laborers, particularly in construction. Now, before the break, we were talking about the hotline, and you are fielding a lot of these calls. It's 63 last month alone. And in the past 2.5 years, you've worked with more than 860 laborers, more than 150 of their dependents, and nearly 40 spouses. James, you'd referred to this. Does that mean success when it comes to this hotline, Aaron?
Yes, definitely. Success can be measured in a lot of different ways. But success is allowing people to know that it's okay not to be okay, right? And that there's help out there, because a lot of our population doesn't even understand that there's help, right? Or that there's an MAP or certain benefits that can come with that when they do look for help. And so us being out in front of them and explaining what's offered, and like I said, us being vulnerable with people to open them up to be able to receive some of that information.
Mm-hmm. How much of the stigma has changed, has decreased over the last 2.5 years? I mean, do you feel that you have observed some of that, Aaron or James?
I sure think we have.
Yeah, for sure.
I mentioned sea change earlier. It's time.
Yeah.
And whether it's some of the old guard stepping down, but even they are really supportive of this, and you're seeing, so now you have management that looks a little more like my age, middle age, and then you have younger members coming in who are ready to talk about these things, who are dealing with these challenges multiplied by many generations like Aaron and I have faced. So I certainly think that it is, we're talking about this, that yes, there's a change.
Yeah, and definitely when we're in front of contractors and labor leaders and we're doing a presentation, part of our thing is we're not trying to add anything to your plate, right? Like, you're already dealing with these things. Allow us to help you through that process. And people are becoming more receptive, because the younger generation coming in, they want to feel respected and autonomous and be able to express themselves openly.
Along with the work that you each are doing for Lean STL, you're also part of efforts to organize a trades coalition in St. Louis. Which trades are we talking about, James?
Well, all of them, right? We know that this is not isolated to the laborers. Whether we're talking about the plumbers, the pipe fitters, the sheet metal workers, the carpenters, the electricians, they are all dealing with the same challenges we are and have been for a while. And we really thought it was a next step for us. We actually, last fall, were approached by the elevator constructors, if you didn't know they were a union.
Oh, I did not know that. Okay.
So, and they had heard us speak, because we're out daily doing this thing, having this conversations, breaking down stigma. We're when you see the numbers, and you talked about them earlier about the suicides, that someone wouldn't imagine that we have something in construction called the Fatal Four. Mm. And that same year that there was 5,000 suicide deaths, there were under 1,000 deaths by all four of the Fatal Four. Mm-hmm. So we're recognizing that this is more something that, like Aaron said, we're not adding something to their plate. We're helping them deal more skillfully with something that we were already dealing with, those challenges. So what the elevator constructors approached us, we, after several meetings with our organization, we helped them start their own peer program. And with the help from them, we decided to start working on a coalition amongst the trades of any, in, you know, invested stakeholders in any organization that is already dealing with these issues, wants to bring these issues to the table, so we can do them collectively. We know the power of the strength of our unions individually, and we can support each other, build training platforms, so we have uniform training for things like mental health first aid, suicide prevention. It's a great opportunity for us all to come to the table. What's been working for each individual organization? And it's not just about us telling someone, the laborer, saying, hey, you have to have a peer program, although you need a peer program. But it's about bringing them to the table and finding out what works, sharing resources, supporting each other in this work to be more skillful and intentional.
Mm-hmm. Is there any resistance among trades leadership? I mean, James, you're talking about sort of a change in guard, and who's leading, who is part of these unions?
Very little. I think that they're not, I won't use the word struggle, but they're at the meetings and they're talking. They're like, you know, we wouldn't have done this 20 years ago. And I still don't know where we're heading with this. It's kind of some comments I've heard. And I'm glad you're finally doing this, is what you're hearing. These are human beings. You know, we isolate and we say, union leader, labor leader, construction. And we immediately in our mind, we have this, you know, very, you know, hyper-masculine, you know, dust off your problems kind of person. But these are human beings who have challenges of their own. So, of course, they know, they all have the very real challenges in their own life. So I think everybody's kind of more relieved, if that makes sense.
They're
gosh, we're talking about this. We wouldn't have done that 20 years ago, but I'm glad we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, I mean, yeah, so recruitment and retention, right, and making this thing cohesive across us all to be able to come together on these job sites and touch more lives.
Yeah.
Right.
Much of your job, it entails connecting with behavioral health professionals. You talked about being connectors so that you can link people up to the resources that they need. So talking with those within the behavioral health field on the show, you know, they have shared with us that there are not enough resources to meet demand. What have you seen around the state of behavioral health overall in our region, Aaron? You know, is it sometimes a struggle to find someone who can provide help that a colleague needs?
Sure. Yeah, and, you know, I think looking at adolescent and teenage treatment is very difficult. A lot of times we're wanting to send people out of town to different facilities, states away, and parents don't want to do that because they're not able to see their child. And so those are really difficult cases. And also really, because we know, you know, substance use and suicidal ideation, all these things, there's a mental health component behind all of it. So really what we gear our treatment towards is looking at mental health and substance use secondary, right? And there's not any of that in our area, because we want to get to the core of the problem. The substance use is just a symptom, right, of a bigger issue. And so kind of hoping to get some more mental health primary facilities in this area would be really helpful.
Mm-hmm. How has that being provided for or maybe not provided for in the kinds of, you know, benefits that construction workers have had over time?
I can kind of tie that to the coalition we're talking about. So one of the things that we can do as a coalition, something Aaron and I have helped with our organization, is look at policies and procedures. Mm-hmm. Remember, peers remove barriers to treatment, to well-being. And so we have seen, by the way, part of it's kind of selfish. Some of the purpose behind this coalition is kind of selfish because Aaron and I have been, we talk on job sites where we're not going to isolate for just laborers. The trades are going to there. We're going to talk about it and we're going to share and we're going to help them if they call. So we have been fielding calls from these other trades. I actually took a call from a laborer in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
Which is both super cool and also like, okay, we need more of this. And I, yeah.
Yeah. Peer support, you know, it has been around as long as, you know, humans have been together, but it is an emerging field in the workplace. And, you know, James, you're talking about people calling from out of town. Lean STL is one of the first of its kind in the country. Are you finding yourself talking about how peer support works with more people in other fields of work, not just in the trades, Aaron?
Well, I mean, even our hospitals now, like Barnes or whatever, you know, they have these programs like EPIC. You know, somebody comes in with a substance use issue, they put them with a peer right away. If you look at any of the treatment centers or any place that is recovery oriented, are all hiring peers now. And because they know that that lived experience of somebody saying, hey, look, I've been there, I've done that, treatment works, you know, this is how it looked for me, and I'm here to support you all the way through that, right? And so peer work is that connector to the whole thing, mm-hmm. right? And so peer work, all in all, is spreading throughout, you know, a lot of different areas. And I think for the construction industry, though, it's really pioneering, mm-hmm. right? Because we are a rough and tumble bunch that needs to know that, hey, you know, we struggle with things, and we all do, and it's time for us to take a look at some of that stuff.
I love that I think people will look back and go, wow, they're doing, because I remember when we started our program, people were like, oh, we're investing in this now. Mm-hmm. Because typically peers worked in health centers or treatment centers, and they were kind of, you know, when private industry is saying we're going to have peers and seeing the success of it, I don't know if we told you this, the laborers, LIUNA, Laborers International, North America and Canada, one of the biggest labor unions, has studied our program. It is now scaling out Lean throughout LIUNA. I think that's pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. It says this is what we need. And I talked about, we have a population that needs it. And we even have resources. Mm-hmm. You asked Aaron about resources. We are lucky in the sense that we get to lead the way. We are insured, and hopefully that can bleed out into society in other ways. Topic for another day.
Right.
But here's this chasm of care that peers get to be a part of. I love that.
How is this momentum helping you in your individual journeys of recovery?
Yeah.
Aaron?
It has really opened my eyes to different modalities and how to really help people in a harm reduction model, because honestly, everybody's not ready to just stop. A lot of our conversations is about, okay, how much are you drinking? Can we be a little more conscious about what we're doing? Can we pay attention to how many beers I start feeling a certain kind of way, and, you know, on and on, and just kind of bringing some awareness to people about what's going on with them using some of this stuff. And so, and of course, a lot of those conversations go on and on and on until you're like, okay, man, like, this isn't working anymore.
Yeah.
Right. And that's, you know, and that's what we get to do too, is just be honest with people. And a lot of times they don't want to hear that, right? But we will get a phone call back that goes, man, I'm really glad you told me that 6 months ago. Like, what do you do now? What are my options? Mm-hmm. You know.
And how has it helped you personally, Gene?
I love it. It's been an incredible journey and also challenging, right? We were at a really great place in our recovery and working. And to step into this field, you had to learn some of the professional aspects. And self-care is not just an app on your phone. It really is something that if you don't live and breathe, we have to walk the walk.
Yeah,
and people understand how you're doing.
Yeah,
they can tell how you're feeling, and if you're beat up and you're not taking care of yourself, they know. People know. Mm-hmm. So it has been an incredible opportunity to grow professionally and personally, because we really, Aaron and I both,
we vibe really good, and so I think a lot of our learning has come from each other too, right? Like. It's been a really neat experience.
Mm-hmm. We almost have to come back down to, you know, back to a place where we can speak to the laborers, because Aaron and I are typically discussing, Buddhism and, how to move forward in our lives. So sometimes we have to remember where our members are at and meet them there, which is pretty easy for us to get back.
And I'll tell you, like Dr. John Gall, which has been a huge advocate for us and has set up our training schedule, and that training that he has set up for us is really, because I came in with the idea, you got to stop and that's it, right? And so going through these trainings has really opened me up to my own opinions and biases and different ways that I view recovery, right? And that's part of my talk. Like when I tell people, like, if you have your ideas or your opinions about these matters, just take a half hour and research some things, read some things, and just understand what you're talking about a little more, right? And
education has, like, all these things have fed back into us to keep going on our path of well-being, being our journey, our recovery.
And our last question for each of you in 30 seconds: what is the one thing that would really kick up what you're doing? What would be the thing that would take you all to the next level that you know you're just right there? James?
I think it's happening. So, like, it's already in front of us. I think what came to my mind when you asked me is, so outreach can be a hard, our members work for multiple employers, and so outreach, and we just recently engaged a communications organization to help us do social media and reach people where they are, because Aaron and I can't be everywhere. But all the things that we would have on a wish list are happening, and so... That's my answer. It's happening.
It's great to hear.
Yeah. No, definitely outreach and reaching more people through social media and through the web. And also, like, exposure like this, right? I'm grateful for the exposure today and helping us to really change the narrative behind these things, because they're normal issues, right? And we just need to support one another.
Aaron Walsh and James Purcell are laborers recovery specialists with Lean STL, a peer support system created to support laborers who are disproportionately at risk of substance abuse problems and suicide. Thank you each for coming back today and giving us this update.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.